Hebrews chapter 4. This chapter starts off with the words, "Let us." I say this for the benefit of Arnott here. He was at me about this. I remember one time years ago writing an article for a magazine titled "Good Gardening for Christians." You see? So you can see what I'm getting at here. Let us. The book of Hebrews is full, like I see you shaking your head, brother. The book of Hebrews is full of lettuces. Lettuces, you say. I remember using also, you know, turn up at the prayer meeting, you know. You can think of planting seed. A lot of stories in the Bible about seed, you know, the word of God. You can think of growth, plants growing. You can think of food for plants. Plants need food in order to grow. The believer needs food, the food of the word of God. We can think of fruit, you see, as well. So there is a good article there. I wish I could get it, you know, get it back from somewhere. Good gardening for Christians. It starts off with "let us." It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into," and you notice the expression there, "his rest." His rest. We have this further down as well. "His rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it." Well, there's a sort of a little warning there. It says, verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest." Now, I'm going to just stop there because we'll be going down to about verse 13 in this chapter. But I want to stop there and deal with this. I'm putting a title over this first section here from verse 1 to really verse 3a, could I put it? Verse 1 to verse 3a. And I'm writing over this, "A Promise of Rest." A promise of rest. And then I'm going to go on to try and explain to you what this rest is. We'll be looking at that as we move on in the book. But it starts off, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." I'm going to stop a bit on that word fear. Now, if you go back, just let's go back to Mark. We've already been in the Gospel of Mark. It's a wonderful book, the Gospel of Mark. It's ignored a wee bit in preaching. We preach from Matthew, we preach from Luke, we preach from John. But I noticed that my son John is preaching a bit from Mark as well, so that's good. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And this is the story at the end of the chapter of the storm on the lake. We'll go to verse 39. Mark 4, verse 39. It says, "And he," that is the Lord Jesus, "arose and rebuked the wind," spoke to the wind, of course, "and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." We can see something of the power of the Lord Jesus. Verse 40. "And he said unto them," that's his disciples, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Now, that's fear in the sense of being afraid of something. You can see that. That's these disciples, and quite a number of them were experienced fishermen. But yet in the midst of this great storm, they were frightened. And Jesus says, now, why? And of course, I believe the Lord says, "How is it that ye have no faith?" Because he had told them earlier that they were going to the other side. He says, "We're going to go to the other side." They didn't believe him. They thought something was going to happen to them, so they didn't take the word of the Lord, you know, to get to the other side. They sort of thought they were going to be lost in the storm. That's fear in the sense of something happening like that. But then look at verse 41. It says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another." Now, this is a different type of fear. "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" they witnessed the Lord Jesus speaking to the wind and it stopped, and speaking to the sea. He's the one, of course, who spoke in creation, and it was done. He spoke to the wind, he spoke to the sea, and it says there was a great calm. And those disciples, the word here is more reverential fear. As they witnessed the power of the Lord Jesus, you see, you can see the type of fear that there is here. Let's go back to Hebrews 4, which says, let us therefore fear. Now, there's a sense in this word in which you're aware of what, just like those, he refers back to, lest any of you should seem to come short of it. And it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word of God preached did not profit them. Now, the gospel here in verse 2 is basically good news. They were told, they were brought out of Egypt, and they were told to go straight into Canaan. God's word came to them, you see, in the sense of good news. That's why it's talked about as gospel here. The gospel preached to us, of course, is a bit different. It's about Christ dying for our sins, being buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So you can see the word gospel can be used in another sense of bringing good news. But when they got to Kadesh Barnea, the 10 spies brought back a message which was full of fear. They saw the giants. The two, of course, Caleb and Joshua. And I'm not going to sing that for you this morning. I'm very surprised the last morning I sung it that you didn't all walk out. Somebody afterwards said that to me. You know, it was quite insulting. Told me that they thought everybody would have walked out. But you didn't, so that's good. 10 were bad, 2 were good, you see. The 10 spies that saw the giants and all, they were full of the wrong type of fear, you see. The wrong type of fear. They saw the troubles. They saw the problems. Whereas the two, Joshua and Caleb, that was the right type of fear in the sense that they had faith, but they had a reverential fear for the promises of God, you see, that were given them. You can see that. Now, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Now, I've written here a promise of rest. We have to fear lest we ignore this promise of rest. Let's go to 2 Corinthians just for a verse. 2 Corinthians. Book of 2 Corinthians. Book of 2 Corinthians is a wonderful book. Again, that's not read from too often. I think there's no other book in the Bible that shows more the inner experience of the Apostle Paul and 2 Corinthians. It shows you his inner self. But it says 2 Corinthians 1, and we're at verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, these are lovely verses. I've been enjoying them. It says verse 20, for all the promises of God. Notice that. Look, just let that touch us. All the promises of God, notice it, in him, that's in Christ. You see, he's the one that brings about these promises. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God to us. There's a verse that could touch us, isn't it? And keep us going for days. You know, all the promises of God. Now, the idea there is, we say yes, yea, they're yea, yes. We say yes to the promises of God. We're not going to say no. We're not going to be like the 10. You see, they said no to the promises of God, to the sort of good news that they had to go into Canaan. They said no. All the promises of God are yes, and in him, that's Jesus. Amen. We can say amen. The word amen means so be it. The word amen means I agree with it. I'll do it, you see. I'm in accordance with it. All the promises of God are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. Let's go back to Hebrews 4. I remember one time I was driving along my Ford. I said in a meeting over in Tyrone not that long ago that I'd come here tonight by my Ford Mondeo. And there's a fella shouted out, he says, "I wonder you got here." You know, I was driving along and the temperature gauge started to creep up. Have you ever had that experience? I've had it quite a few times. Maybe more than I should. So I pulled into a station, filling station, lifted the bonnet, but never, when you never reach and open the top of the radiator, you know, because of the steam might come out and you might get burnt. If you have a piece of cloth, throw it over it and then open it. But be careful. I didn't do too much. I looked at it. There didn't seem to be much coming out. There didn't seem to be much steam rising. There wasn't too much pressure. But I left it for a minute. But then I noticed another fellow over there. And he was walking backwards and forwards. And he was sighing. And he was, dreadful state. And I thought to myself, now, I wonder. So I went across to him, and he was in too, and he had the bonnet up. But his trouble was a bit worse than mine because he had heard a rattle. Do you know what that is? Those of you who know a bit about cars would know what that rattle, that's a death rattle. He had heard a rattle, and he had pulled in quickly, and they got the engine stopped, and they were actually putting in oil. She had got low in oil. And they were putting oil into his car. I said hello to him. He said hello. I says, "Are you okay?" He says, "Things always happen to me." You see? Oh, it's dreadful. And then I somehow fancy you're a Christian. Yes, he says, "I am." You know, I thought so. I says, "Come here." So we got into my car, and I took him to Ephesians 1, and I started to read down it. You see, there you get, you're chosen in Christ. In verse 3, they have all the spiritual blessings of God. And in verse 4, you're chosen. Verse 5, you're adopted. Verse 6, you're accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Verse 8, you get to know God's will. Verse 9, you have an inheritance. And verse 13, you've got the Holy Spirit. Just went down the chapter and explained each one to him. And he looked at me and he smiled. He says, "Who sent you in here?" I says, "Maybe it was to be that I was to meet you." And he was smiling. He says, "It's great." He says, "When I look at all those, it's great to be a Christian." He says, "I've just had a massive row with my wife. And walked out," he says, "and I've just been driving the roads." And then he says, "Lo and behold, low in oil." Oh, he says, one thing on top of another. You know? But there was a smile on his face. That's how the word of God comes to people. I checked my car. The car seemed to open the window. Nothing seemed to be happening. Checked the water. She was full. Didn't need any water. Got in, started up and drove on. Temperature was normal. Do you know that car never heated up again? Huh. You see, I believe that was God bringing the word of God to this chap. He said he was away home to put things right with his wife and family. Praise God. You see, the promises of God, and here's a promise here, to come into a rest. Now, it says, "Let us fear, lest a promise being made to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." You know, I could talk about other things here, but I notice this clock is creeping on, and I'll go to the next section here. I tell you, not only is there a promise of rest, but there's a provision of rest. So let's read on. It says in verse 4, verse 3, the B part of it, "As I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day. On this wise God did rest the seventh day from all his works." So there's a Sabbath rest, isn't there? You see, there is a Sabbath rest, you can see from this. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. You see, that's the 10 again. They didn't go in. Now, you see, I'd say this, dear Christian, this morning. It's possible for Christians not to go in for what God has for them. And I believe that the rest that we're going to talk about is somewhere in that category. I think of Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell was the great Scottish preacher who saw revival in the island of Lewis. I'm sure many of you, if you ever get that book, read it. It's a tremendous story. The revival on the island of Lewis, and he was involved in that. And he talks back to his sort of early 20s, and he went to a meeting, and he got a challenge from God as to his future, to give his life over to the Lord for what God would have for him. And he said yes. But he had come to that meeting with another friend of his, a bosom pal of his, who was also a Christian, and the two of them walked home. In those days, there weren't so many cars or things like that, but they walked home. They walked a couple of miles home in Scotland. And when they walked, Duncan told this fella that he had given his life over to the Lord for what God would have him do. But the other fella said, he didn't respond to that. He said no. And it's interesting that Duncan Campbell tells this. So many years later, he met this fella. And he, of course, now was involved fully in the Lord's work because he did a great work for the Lord. But this other fella was disappointed. And as he talked to him, he discovered this, that this other fella had gone in for business. It was his particular, I'm not saying it's wrong to go into business, don't get me wrong. It could be God's will for you to be in business. But this fella had gone into business ignoring the call of God. And at the time Duncan and he talked, when later, he was regretful. He now was a millionaire. He had everything he could require. But his life hadn't been given over to God, you see. And of course, we have this challenge. We have this challenge here that there were those who didn't go in. They heeded the 10. And there were those there was Joshua and Caleb who wanted to go in, but couldn't go in because of the rest, you see. Now it says here in verse 7, it says, again, he limited a certain day in David, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That's back to Psalm 95. And then he says, verse 8, now this, I'm going to try and put these together. For if Jesus, that's Joshua in verse 8, Joshua is the same word as Jesus, of course. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have spoken of another day? Now, if you read the book of Joshua carefully, when you come to chapter 21 in Joshua, they had actually taken the land. They'd gone back into the land under Joshua, and they settled in the land, and they occupied the land. You see, that's the Canaan rest that there was. Notice that there was Sabbath rest, God's Sabbath rest, but there was Canaan rest. Now, what they're saying here is, in verse 7, he limited a certain day in David, that's Psalm 95. And it says in verse 8, would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? That means this, that the Canaan rest, although the children of Israel settled in it and experienced the Canaan rest, there was still something more. For 500 years later, it mentions David in verse 7. Verse 7 is 500 years later than verse 8. Notice it. In David's day, they still hadn't got the rest, you see. There was a future rest. And you can see that coming through. Then verse 9 says, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. There remaineth, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Now that simply means this. It says, lest any man fail after the same example of unbelief. So there's a future. Canaan didn't fully get into it. David, 500 years later, even talked about it in Psalm 95. It shows us there's people who doubt Psalm 95 was written by David. But this shows us, further scripture shows us that Psalm 95 was written by David. And you can see, he spoke of another rest, still future. I want to just read about one verse that I've been thinking quite a bit about. This clock goes very fast here, so I'm flailing through quickly. It's Matthew 11 and 28. You needn't turn to it. I'm going to quote it. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what? "I will give you rest." Rest. I believe there you have the rest of salvation. And I believe there's many of us this morning here in this audience here, you've entered into that rest. You see? You've entered in. There's lots of people in the world tonight and they haven't entered in because of unbelief. They haven't come into that good, you see? But you have entered in to that rest. But Matthew goes on to say in verse 29, listen to this. It's a further expression here. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls." Seems to me that there's two rests here, you see. There's the rest of salvation, yes, but there's something more. I believe this is what Duncan Campbell was talking about. There's the rest of service, you see, in God's mind. If I had time, I could tell you how I got into the occupation that I got into, you see. Certainly, I was saved when I was 19 years of age. But then later on, I got promises from God which took me into particular teaching. And that was the second step in my experience, you see. I've had many experiences since that. But you see, God saves us. But then what God does is this. He calls us into his service. He said to those, you see, those disciples that he talked about, you see, when he first talked to them, they followed him in John 1. Do you remember John 1? You know, so Peter and Andrew. Remember, Andrew found his brother Peter and he brought him to Christ. But then later on, he met them on the shores of Galilee. Now, they became followers of Christ in John 1. But later on, Jesus was walking along the shore and he came across Peter and Andrew. What did he say to them? He said, "Follow me and I will do" what? "I will make you to become fishers of men." So there was their second step into the service of the Lord. You see that? We can become Christians. But then I believe, as Matthew 11 and 28 and 29 describes in detail, we get the rest of salvation, but we come into the rest of the service of God. You know, it could be that there's people here this morning, maybe some young person, and you feel God is calling you into something. That's it, you see. That's the rest. And then, of course, you can, according to what I'm talking about here, you can actually get away from that. You mightn't go in for that. It says in verse 11, "Let us labor." And I'll just stop here at this verse because this clock's beating me. It says, "Let us labor therefore." Look at verse 11 because it brings us the full force of this to us. "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." You see, lest, now notice the expression here, "lest any man fail or fall after the same example of unbelief." That's the example in the Old Testament at Kadesh Barnea, where they didn't really go in for the rest that God had for them, you see. And let us labor. Now, I have traveled around a lot in Christian experience, both preaching and ministering. And I'm one who believes in the eternal security of the believer. I believe if you're a Christian this morning, you're eternally secure. Absolutely. It says in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them." And what happens? I give unto them what? Eternal life. I'll tell you, eternal life isn't going to finish next week. Even John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? But have what? Everlasting life." And that's not going to stop in 2 weeks' time. It's everlasting. But you see, that doesn't mean we say we sit back on our laurels and do what we like. Because people, when I speak on eternal security, there's always somebody comes to me and he says, "You're preaching a sort of a gospel that allows people to do what they like." No, no, no. I think if you're a real Christian, you'll not do what you like. That's just full stop. But you see, sometimes I worry as I go around. And I see lack of prayer. I see Christians who have no desire for prayer. I see Christians who have little desire for the Word of God. Little deep study of the Word of God. I see Christians who have no vision for souls. You see? And I'm not judging this audience here. I'm not getting at anybody in particular here. But I'm just thinking honestly in my own heart as I look at these verses. It says, "Let us labor, lest any man fall after the same manner of unbelief." You see? I see that, and sometimes it's disturbing to think, because it says the Lord knoweth them that are his. I say that without a doubt. I'm not a person to judge. I can't judge you, and I can't judge anyone else on this matter. But you see, I do think that if you're a real Christian, you should be interested in prayer. You should be interested in studying the Bible. You should be interested in seeing other people saved. And I'll leave you to search that out for yourselves this morning. It says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." I believe that rest not only includes salvation, but it includes what the Lord wants us to do. But then I think it goes a bit further. I think that not only is it here, but it's future. I think there's a heaven rest. You see, that we surge towards. In this world, certainly, we become Christians, but just like when they entered Canaan, there was battles, there were struggles right through in Canaan. They fought wars. And I believe that every Christian here, you face the warfare of being a Christian. But then there's a tremendous future when one day the Lord's going to come and you're going to go into the complete, ultimate rest of heaven, you see. That's the fullness of the rest that we're talking about here is heaven's rest, you see. And I'll just leave it there this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we come now. And Lord, we do feel what we've been ministering. We feel it's serious. And Lord, we feel the weight of it as we minister. And the Word of God, I didn't get to that section, but next person doing it will touch it a bit. There's a couple of lovely verses on the Word of God. But Lord, just touch us this morning with your Word and help us to go in for the things of God the way we should and not fail after the example of those in the Old Testament who didn't go in because of unbelief. Pray this, Lord. Ask for your blessing. Think of the meeting this evening and just pray, Lord, for that meeting. We would long to see a movement of the Spirit and we'd long to see people saved. Help us, Lord, to get a vision of people out of Christ and maybe to bring some along tonight who are still not saved. Be lovely tonight to hear of someone finding Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Lord, just touch us now and bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.